Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, friends, and welcome to this Monday night's edition of Raising Expectations. We're sure glad you took time to tune in and be with us tonight, whether you're watching us or listening to us on the five different platforms that we are blessed to be able to come to and be with you each Monday night. We've got a great program tonight. We're real anxious to get into it tonight and talk about ministry. We've got a great guest who's back by demand, and we're excited to have him with us. So we're going to move right into this tonight. And all of you know already that the goal of our program is to raise your expectations. We're all people that believe that God has a plan, and we're not here by accident, that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And not only did he do that, and not only do we know who we are, and not only do we know where we're going, we know that he's going to walk with us every single day, every step along the way. And boy, if that doesn't raise your expectations, you better go like this and put your finger here and check for a pulse. Because it's good to know that he's with you every step of the day, each and every day. So we're going to show our team for you again, coming from across the nation. It's always exciting to tune in real quick. We're going to start on the West Coast in the great metropolis of Lompoc, California, better known as Rocket Town. We've got Dr. Paul Hall. There he is. We're live and direct from Lompoc. So we had a great talk about how they have short-haired dogs there, because when the rockets fly over, Dr. Tank was telling us that's probably tough on the dogs, how those flames. But anyway, we had a great time. We love to see Paul. He's doing well there. Been my brother for 55 years, and that's hard to do, and we're only 39, right, Paul?
That's true.
We're going to start the program with honesty tonight. That's the first question. But anyway, it's sure good to have Paul with us there in Lompoc, and moving back across the nation to the far side of the United States on the East Coast, which is really the West Coast, but it's the South side of the East Coast, still known as the South. And right there we have Steph Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer coming to us from just north of Dalton, Georgia, next to Tennessee. So they are famous for the Tennessee Volunteers, and they're a pretty famous place that they're in right there. So Stephanie, as you know, is what we believe one of the best in the world when it comes to health and well care, and understanding your body and understanding how to take care of it, and understanding too how to walk with the Lord. And she puts out things each day that help an awful lot of people to find out what God's doing in their lives. And I know some of those people, my daughter's one of them, that checks every day to see what Stephanie's talking about. So along with her, she is also the CEO and founder of Quenching Well, which you need to check on our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And if you'll check there, you'll read all about these wonderful people that we're talking to you about right now. So you'll find her there. And also Dr. Craig, better known as Tank Thayer, who's a trauma surgeon. He's the guy that figures it out when the rest throw their hands up and say, I don't know, somebody call Craig. And they call him, and he figures out what to do. And he's a man of prayer, a man who walks with the Lord. And Craig is also an author now. He has a great book out called Saved, speaking about God working in the ordinary things of life. There it is from our website, Finding God in the Ordinary. And that's where he's with. And he'll raise your expectations every day as you look to him in the events of your life. So that book is available there. You'll find more about it. So check it out, as they say, and see what's happening there. So the Thayers are there in Dalton, near Dalton, Georgia. And if we start and jump back in the plane and head back west, we get to the state of Texas, which is the area we call South America. And that's where one of our favorite pastors in the whole world is, and that is Ron Greer. Ron's been on some special work that he's been doing, and Ron's there in
the metropolis of McKinney. It's part of Dallas, the north side there, right? And actually, now he's not. He's in Florida, but that's okay right now. Yeah. So we won't go to Texas. We'll go back east. But yeah, let's get back on the plane, Steph, and head back that direction. Yeah. So he's actually in the South, because that really is the South, Florida, as far as you can go. So he's there tonight. And Ron is a pastor. He's a counselor. He works with Man in the Mirror. He helps men. He's a tremendous man in the Word. And we love him and thank God for him and his family. Precious, precious people. We're thankful for them. So this is kind of the team. I'm Pastor Joe. Most of you know me. And we're just excited to be together tonight. And by the way, my book is on there, too. I should remind you of that also. You find it next to the book there. It is Legitimate Faith. It's right on our website, so you'll find them. Now, coming back to our program tonight, we are excited to have with us somebody I know you've been reading about, because some of you have been kind of checking in with me on this. And this man is someone who has done an awful lot to help men to find out who they are in their walk with the Lord and their leadership capacities in their family. Lane Davis began this ministry a few years back. He shared that with us, and he's very special. His outreach is called For Freedom Outreach, and he talks about so many different things about how men can step up, stand out, and fire up for what God's called them to be. And he has a great group of men that he ministers with. He's going to tell you all about it, because he knows a lot more about that than I do. We're excited to have him with us tonight. We're going to hear about the role of men in God's plan for individual men and for churches and other people. We've asked him to share some questions with us tonight. We've all kind of looked at those a little bit, and we're going to kind of discuss those with him. And ladies and gentlemen, listen real close. Oh, just a minute. I checked that real quick. Just see if they're listening. See how quick Ron's thought? He knew exactly what we were doing there. That's what he does. So we want you to know you can comment on the program tonight. If you're on any one of the platforms, on Facebook, any of them, BBS, any of them, if you want to leave a comment, just go ahead, because there might be some great things God's done in your life. If you want to leave a comment, we'll get back to you this week and make sure that we let you know we're thankful for sharing your words from the Lord with each of us, because they encourage us too. That's a great thing. So all the way from the thriving metropolis, I believe it's Riverside, Southern California, we have with us tonight Lane Davis, and we'll bring him on right now. Let's give him our famous around the world applause. And welcome to Raising Expectations. And there he is. See, you remember him. And it's good to have you with us. Good to have you on our program tonight, brother. And God bless you. Thanks for being with us tonight.
You're welcome. And thank you for having me back. I want to thank you again for having me on your show on July 31st, I think it was. When I get done with something like this, any type of public speaking or any type of platform, the enemy always comes in with diminishment, like what you said stunk and didn't you make sense, but people that had watched it that were kind of close to me and follow our ministry, they started giving me feedback about what an amazing how the Lord just kind of used your show to explain why For Freedom Outreach has so much impact with men, and how it makes them better, obviously first Christ followers. But then if you become a better Christ follower, obviously you become a better husband, you become a better father, you become a better congregant, you know, because you understand your role in the kingdom and you start stepping up in the gifts that God has enabled each and every one of us. And so thank you again for allowing me to be on your show and for using that as a platform to even help people that support our ministry. They don't know how to explain it to their pastor. And so there's a couple of guys in Tennessee that showed the July 31st show to their pastors because they lived in California. They came to our men's events. Their lives were transformed by Jesus through the events that we ran. And then now they're back in Tennessee and Idaho, and they're sharing it with their pastors to try and get men's ministries operating. And it's our primary event is our primary focus is men's events, but it trickles over into events for women and also into leadership camps for teenage boys and teenage girls. Man. And Yeah, and so I guess the title, I want to start kind of with at the end of the last show that I was on, I made a, you said I had 30 seconds left, and so my question is what does the American church have to offer men, and why won't men step up? And so I pose this question, and I talked about the fullness of the gospel, how if all you do is go to church on Sundays, which is most men, and I'm not saying not to go to church. So a lot of times, and I even had a private conversation with Joe on this, just because I point out where the church falls short in reaching the heart of men, it doesn't mean I'm bagging on church. I'm just pointing out where it falls short. I'm not saying don't go to church. I go to church every week somewhere. If I'm at my home, I go to my local church that I'm a part of. If I'm on the road, I'll find another church to go to. So I'm not anti-church. I just point out where they've fallen short. And what happens is people that are employed by the church, they take offense at it. And it's so, and again, you may never have me on your show again. So, there's not, the church isn't run by Pharisees, but there is a Pharisaical spirit that permeates the church today. And that spirit, what I mean is they think they know what's best. And so anytime something comes in that ruffles the status quo or is not, in line with the programs that they have, they take offense to us, and they actually try and shut it down. And that's actually how For Freedom Outreach was birthed. I started in a mega church in Southern California, and I think I told you on the last show, we started with one book study going through Wild at Heart with 15 guys, and within 33 months, that one study with 15 guys multiplied into 36 men's groups with 450 men.
Amen.
And the church came in, and it's like, well, we like that men are getting involved, but we don't like them going through this message where, where men get their masculinity back. So we want guys to stay in group, but let's make it a more tame, mild. And so they have this agenda. So actually out of, it wasn't persecution, but it was out of resistance that it's like, you know what? Men want what we're talking about because we're unpacking the fullness of the gospel. Not that Jesus just came to die for your sins, but he also rose again on the third day, and he hung out for 40 days, and he continued to teach his disciples about the kingdom. And then when he ascended, he said, "I give all authority has been given to me. I give it to you." And so on your last show, we talked about kingdom authority. And sorry, I lost my point, but
All right, you fit right in, bro. Keep going.
You were just calling on how the churches take
Right.
offense.
Right. And so it was kind of out of that resistance that, you know what? It's like men want what we're talking about. They want the fullness of the gospel, and it changes their lives, it transforms them, but the church doesn't give it. And I asked the question on the last show at the very end. Joe goes, "Okay, you got 30 seconds left." I go, 51 weeks of the year, you hear about the cross and you're a sinner and Jesus came to die for you. One Sunday a year, you hear about the resurrection on Easter, but how many times do you hear a sermon on the ascension and the authority that you've been given to live this kingdom life and live the life that Jesus lived? And Joe made a comment. If you go back and watch it at the very end, Joe said, you remember what you said, Joe?
Go ahead.
You said, it doesn't sell.
There you
Okay,
go.
it's like, well, why does the church have to sell something? So that's
Exactly.
so when I ask, what does the church offer men? Let me rephrase it and say, what doesn't the church offer men? See, because churches today are program based. Men need projects. Men want to be great. They want to have success. And you think if that, well, that sounds kind of arrogant, and I don't know if we should go there. Read Mark, read Matthew 20, where James and John said, "I want to sit at your right hand and your left hand." And the other 10 had a Pharisaical spirit. They got angry that those men wanted to be great, right? And Jesus, when he addresses them, He doesn't chastise them for wanting to be great. He tells them, if you want to be great, then you must be a servant of all, right? Amen. So be an aspiration to be great is not a sin. Jesus didn't chastise them for that. He tells them what they got to do to be great. And yet when men want to rise up and be great in the church today, the church wants to tame them, right? It's like, no, you know, we want you to, again, so I'll ask, what does the church offer men today, right? Be on the security team, right? I go to a smaller church here where I live, and they got 30 guys on the security team. 7 men step forward. They put that they want to be on the security team. Well, there's not a need for that, right? I mean, they already have more people than they need, right? Be a parking lot attendant. How many of you guys grew up in the church? I've been in church since I was in diapers. All right. So I remember the day when I could pull up to a church and find my own parking place and walk in and find my own seat. And now there's a gauntlet, right? They have 3 or 4 people telling you where to park. You got walk in, they're all greeting you and smiling. Hey, good to see you and stuff like that. So, I mean, again, I'm not bagging on that. That's not wrong, right? That's okay. But what does the church offer men, right? Be a greeter, be an usher, be a chief officer, be in the parking lot, be on the security. It's not enough, right? Men need, and we talked about this the last show, a battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to rescue, right? And so where does the church fall short in offering that to men? Where's the battle? Right? Be a nice guy, right? You know, get into every man's battle. Again, it's not enough for the heart of men. And so where we have captured the heart of men is we find out what makes them come alive. What makes you come alive? In a conversation right now with a guy that he loves woodworking. Okay, how do we do church around woodworking and other young men who want to teach that to their kids? How do we do church? How do we do a gathering of men in a wood shop and teach them the principles of woodworking, but at the same time, preach the gospel, right? Amen. Because if you look at, and I wrote this down somewhere, see if I can find it. Yeah, right here. So if you look at where people experience Jesus in the gospels, in Matthew, there's 34 different encounters where a person has a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, either directly or indirectly. One of them, out of 34 in the Gospel of Matthew, one of them takes place in church, inside the institute, right? Inside the synagogue, right? And yet today there's a guy in a men's group I'm in. He always tells stories almost every week about, he met this lady at the grocery store, and he met this person at the gym, and his whole focus is come to church, come to church, come to church. It's like, you be the church, right?
That's right.
Be with that person, you know, get to know him, invite him to your home. The church was done around a meal. It was never done inside a brick and mortar. I mean, the gospel expanded for 400 years without Bibles. They didn't have Bibles. They didn't have buildings. They didn't have any budgets. They had no banners. They had no bands. And they had no big shots. Right? Right? And yet today's the growing churches today are the mega churches. And they have all of those. And yet in the Gospel of Matthew, 34 encounters with Jesus, one happens in church. In Mark, 26 personal encounters with Jesus Christ, 2 of them happen in church. And so I'll ask you guys, what does the church have to offer men today, or what doesn't it offer?
We go first to our lady, and then I'm looking at Ron. He's ready.
I'm not even a guy.
I know, but ladies first, right?
Thank God.
Women, we like to gather. I was thinking, okay, this topic tonight, we are in the Feast of the Tabernacle, or the tents or gatherings, depending on what you want to call it. It's 8 days. We're in the middle of it. Well, the men were required to show up. The women and the children were not told. Every 7 years they were told, but the women would automatically come because the women like to gather. The women want to just chat and do all of that. And I think it speaks so well to who we are. We're very, very different, right? You're a man's idea of a good time generally is not just, you know, showing up at the church. And I think what you have to say is a very valid point. And just as a wife, you know, when we started going, I think he was really looking for dudes. And there weren't a lot. And then he realized on mission trips, oh, hey, there's a bunch of guys that are like me that I can relate to, right? And we need that, but it takes other activities for that to happen. It's not going to happen in a pew.
Right. Uh-huh. And so back to the point, women are relational.
Yep.
Right. And so if there's a program, but men, why does the mission trip? Because that's a project, right? There's an end to it. A program at a church is unending, right? Yes. And so we want you to serve in the children's ministry. That's unending. I want you to go on a mission trip for a week. Guys will raise their hand all day long, right? It's because it's project oriented.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you can do church around the project. Church doesn't have to be confined to a 1.5 hour worship service on a Sunday morning, right? You have to give, right? And then you go on that mission trip. And a lot of times it's to build a home for the local pastor, or it's to build an orphanage, right? And so it's project, it's task oriented, and men will step up for that all day long.
You're right up my alley here. I think what church is missing is that men don't find value in church, in the whole program task of church. And having been a pastor and been around pastors for a bunch of years, and those, anyway, I won't insult pastors, but it's like we are trained to follow the path of least resistance. What's the easiest thing to do? The easiest thing to do is bring everybody in one building, put on a program and get them together, and then follow the routine constantly. And it doesn't take a lot of effort and energy to do that. I mean, some energy, but not a lot of effort to do that. And whereas men, on the other hand, as you said, those three things have to be there. How do you create value for men? You have to find a way that they find value in what's in your church, what's there. And if they don't, if you don't create it, no, they're not going to come. And if they do come, they're just there just to be there because right. They think it's good, it's good for wife and kids. It's why probably 80% of every church population are women and kids, and maybe 15 or 20% are men. So one of the things that we help churches, the same thing is how do you discover how to create value for men? And then how do you, once you create that value, how do you sustain that value? And then how do you keep continually recreating, sustaining, and creating all over again? What is it that men desire? Okay, you have a concerted effort to actually find out who men are and what they want. So you give them what they want in the context, I mean, what they need rather than the context of what they want. What they need is close, real life companionship with other men. That's something the scripture called us to. That's what they want. You know, how do you get that to them? Getting guys together, get them a project, working on something. When they're using their hands, they're fighting a battle together, they build the kind of relationships they need. Everything the church does is just opposite, counterintuitive. I mean, opposite of that, we sit men in a classroom and a group of people and someone talks to them. And then here's the one I like. They'll get everybody in a classroom or in a Sunday school or a life group, they call it. And then somebody will ask the volunteers to read. I don't care if there's 200 people in the room. Most of them are women are going to raise their hand to read.
Yeah, that's right.
Other guys just sit there.
Right.
Because
you
didn't ask them personally to actually do something, engage. And so they do. So anyway, you're exactly right. How do you create? You have to find a way to create value for them. Now, I will say there are some churches we work with and they do a very good job of it. They're getting there. But things that the hardest thing for churches to do and pastors do is to break out of that mold we're in, break out of what's comfortable. And so my job is constantly getting pastors to trust me enough to push you out of your comfort zone. Do something different and see how it works. We have churches. There's one in particular, right? There's a biker church that I had the experience of up in Minnesota. And when you go in the parking lot and there's these probably 200, 300 motorcycles. and you see guys in vests and beards and the black leather, the big metal building you walk in, there's a stage with a pulpit made out of motorcycle parts and all kinds of stuff. There's bikes hanging on the wall and frames on the wall, and it's absolutely alive. There, yeah. And it's the most unusual thing in my mind when I saw it was there's probably 70% guys and about 30% women.
Yeah.
The opposite, you know? And again, it's because a group of guys witnessed to a couple of bikers, and they found that the way to witness to the bikers and way to build a relationship was go to biker events and do biker stuff.
And so, most biker events are outside.
Outside, yeah, man.
They're not inside.
Yeah. Not inside.
And so, yeah, but you mentioned, you know, you go to most churches, it's 80-20, 80% women. I mean, the statistics are Barna and all the people, you know, it's always 80-20. And then over the last 8 years, I've had a chance to sit down with 20 different men's pastors of churches. And when they agree to sit down with me, I always ask them, what's your biggest frustration that you have with men who attend your church? And it's always they won't step up. You know, they well, why won't they step up? Because they're not committed. Well, why aren't they committed? I don't think they take their Christian life seriously. Why don't they take their Christian life seriously? And I'll tell them, I know the answer because I was that guy. I was that guy for most of my life until I learned the larger story. As I told you at the last podcast I was on.
So do you get the deer in the headlight look when you ask those questions?
Oh yeah. Because they don't have the answer. They just think that men aren't serious and that they won't commit. But there's a reason, okay? Yeah. There's a reason. And the reason is Genesis 3. Mm. Men are in hiding, right? They might be saved. They might have given their life to Christ. They might attend church on Sunday, but they're still in hiding because they have not been healed from their wounds. And you get back to why Jesus said he came. When he first announced his ministry, he says, I come to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. Not I came to die for your sins. Now, again, we know he did. Paul tells us that over and over. The angel of the Lord tells Mary, you're going to call his name Jesus because he's going to take away the sins of the world. John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God. So we know he came to take away the sins of the world. My point is, Jesus said he came to heal the brokenhearted and set captives free. So you have all these men who do attend church, but they've never been healed and they've never been set free of what holds them captive, either addiction to, you know, whatever, medication or pornography. And so they're in hiding, they're ashamed, they're afraid if they do step up that they're going to be exposed and they're going to have to remove the fig leaf, and men operate out of fear. So first, you have to get men into an environment where you present the fullness of the gospel, where Jesus came to heal your broken heart and set you free. And then teach them about the warrior side of Jesus, not gentle Jesus, meek and mild, children and lambs on his shoulder. But he was a warrior. He flipped tables. Premeditated act of aggression. Mm-hmm. It said he made a cord of whips. Well, where did he get the stuff? He had to make it. So he had a lot of time to make that whip and cool off if he was angry, but he didn't. In a premeditated act of aggression, he overturns tables. And so that's the war. That's the masculine part that's been squelched in the American church today. And if churches would help men be dangerous for good, not for destruction, because you know, I had a lot of influence before in my past, but it was all negative influence. And so when you fall in love with the real Jesus, you get your heart healed, you understand your role in the kingdom to go back, take lost enemy ground, surrender to the enemy, especially when it comes to the hearts of men, and kick some dents in the gates of hell and take back that ground, then you empower men, and then they become alive, and then you ask men to volunteer to do this, 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 or this. They come out of the woodwork to volunteer and to make that happen.
I've always found men that they're usually the younger ones. We used to love it when I was a pastor of the men's ministry, but we were so stretched that we didn't get to do as much ourselves as pastors as I'd like to, because my background's a lot like yours, Mike. So we were stretched in every direction. But men sometimes were afraid to answer because they're afraid they'd get it wrong, and that embarrassed them if they get involved. And secondly, they would get angry if they had the answer, and then it was deemed as the wrong answer. And so then they get angry. So then they just became super clams, clam, 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 snap, snap, snap around the room. But when you're freed up in Christ, like what you're saying is, we don't have to have the answer because we've got the creator of all the questions and he knows all the answers. All we have to do is step up, whatever the project is, and love the way we are loved by Christ, care the way we are cared for, and not grade anybody because we're forgiven. It's all done. We're cleansed. We're clean. We are ready to go to work. And when guys get that way, like whether you're a biker or Ron, how about that phenomenon of the cowboy churches you find in Texas today?
Absolutely. I mean,
it's phenomenal.
We have by us. That's what your biker thing made me think of, a cowboy church, because they do it outside.
Yep, got five in my territory.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, five of them.
I mean, these guys get up and they share from their heart. There's no fear. There's no fear because they know whatever God calls to do, they can step up to the plate, and they're ready because they're not judged. They're in the fullness of Christ, and they love one another. Boy, when men begin to love, look at all the war stories. Look at the great stories of history. I'm a history fanatic. When you look at the great armies that marched and the great things, what God did in so many of those armies, man, when they began to love each other and the camaraderie and the companionship and the one for all and all for one, boy, they moved mountains because that's the way they were. Imagine what you could do when Christ is in that spot too, right? What you're doing.
Well, you know, one of the questions I asked along when I talked to the pastor is the same thing, because you're exactly right. It's almost every single pastor starts out with, hey, men just won't commit. You know, they won't engage. We just kind of do what we can. And in each case, they're firmly convinced that men won't passionately commit to anything. And so my question is, well, let me do this. If I could stand in your pulpit on Sunday, and if I walked to the front, Pastor, if I stood up and shouted out, the Cowboys suck, and the minute I say that, he starts laughing. And I said, why are you laughing? Because he knows if I stood in the pulpit and said that, you'd have all kind of reaction inside the congregation, right? And I've done it before in a group of guys. I said, okay, fine. Tell me why Cowboys don't suck. Because, you know, we live in cowboy country. And guy after guy after guy would passionately tell you why our defense was the best one in this region.
Exactly.
Year, we did this. And last year, our defense and our offense, every single one of them would talk about our, my, and our, right? Constantly. And then I'll ask the question, how many of you guys ever been on the football field with the Cowboys? How many been to the locker room? Not a single one. So why the ownership? Why the my, our, why is that? Why is that? And okay, if they don't commit to anything, Pastor, let me ask you this question. How much do those men spend on game gear every year? I've checked with the Cowboys. Got a friend works there. The average guy spends $1,800 a year on game gear. I mean, on team gear.
And they have
$1,800 a year.
Wow. A year, yeah. Wow.
And the average parking fee for the stadium is $60.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Ticket to get in. So the average fan, 90-some% are men. And they will fight you if you say something wrong about their team. All right, Pastor, if men won't commit to anything, what does Jerry Jones know that you don't know? What has he created there that you can't create? Because what you have is tons more important and more valuable than what Jerry Jones is doing.
Amen.
You guys will spend money, time, they'll fight, they'll get out of character just for a team that they're not even playing on. So it's not about the men won't commit. It's like you said, what are you doing in the church? What are you not doing that the football teams and basketball teams are doing? And here's another one for you, right? I can ask any guy, 65, 70, 80 years old, hey, tell me who your drill instructor was in boot camp in Marine Corps.
Yeah,
those guys will name them to this day, and it's been 50, 60 years. How do they know that? Who's your high school basketball? Who's your high school football coach or your basketball coach? They still don't know them. How does that happen? How do they have that kind of memory and that kind of connection with a guy, the football coach? Because on that team or in the military, There's this common cause. There's this common camaraderie. And everything right. about all those situations tells a man what he can and who he is and what he can be, opposed to who you're not. And Amen. everything yeah. in church, I'm sorry, most cases in church, most of the programs, other thing there say you're not.
That's right. Amen.
Sorry.
And the word church does not exist in the New Testament. The word for church was ecclesia, which means gathering. And so right. Jerry Jones has figured out how to get 80,000 guys, 80% men to show up in a gathering once a week and spend $1,800 a year
right.
in his pocket. So just on a side note, Ron, my two favorite teams, even though I'm from California, my two favorite teams are number one, the Minnesota Vikings, and number two, who's ever playing the Dallas Cowboys. Okay.
Yeah. I'm with you.
They're pretty good until they come to the 49ers and then they go back home. But anyway, okay. Go ahead.
This is off topic a little bit, but kind of not. So I loathed the Cowboys because I was a Niner fan and it was like Broncos, Cowboys, Niner, you know, 80s, 90s.
They're steam.
Okay.
Coming up
I could not stand Deion Sanders. Could not stand that man. Well, he is Coach Prime. I don't know if you've seen what he's doing with Colorado. I don't know if you have heard him speak and what he says to those men, but it's exactly what you guys are talking about. And he is giving them faith, but it is powerful. And he is telling them they are going to battle. And he is telling them the expectations he has of them to be quality men. And now I'm a huge fan of him. Like,
that's right. Right. He knows, he's got a commitment.
Amen.
He loves the Lord too.
I mean, this topic is so important to to the young men, because right now the American College of Pediatrics defines an adolescent male to the age of 24. Mm. 24. Imagine what you were doing when you were 24.
Wow.
So they're still playing video games. 34% of males 18 to, I think, over 30 are still at home with their parents.
Yeah. Mm.
The hand strength grip of that age group is less than their great grandmother's was. Mm. We can get into physiology. The sperm count is half and going lower, lower, lower. Their weight is gaining rapidly because they just sit at home. They don't want to go out. Like the interaction with females outside of like social media is half of what girls will do or women. And the part of that's just because of you don't need a woman anymore for them. They've got porn. Yeah. So,
yeah.
And we've lost sight of family, right? There's another stat, and I don't know specifically the number, but the rate of marriage has dramatically gone down. So family has disappeared. And I love what Hungary did. Hungary has been totally pro-family. They give back money in their taxes for how many kids you have.
That's right.
Yeah, if you stay married for a certain number of years, we're going the wrong way. And that's more societal than church, but the church is tolerant of that. We need to step out and go, come on, guys, we need to mentor these younger guys and say, look, you need to be men's men.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that. Let me read you something, Tank. 96% of young men, I say they are less religious now than they ever have been in their entire life. 36% of millennials, only 36% belong to a church. And 30% of Americans claim no religious affiliation at all, those under 40. 25% of those men grew up in fatherless homes. And 15% say they have no close friendships at all.
Mm.
So you're exactly right. That's part of the research from our this new arm of our ministry. Called Mirror Labs, and it gets worse if you see all the stats. Yeah. But here, and you hit on something though, right? The thing that we've determined that's going to help turn this around that has to take place. We started an initiative we called 10,000 Spiritual Fathers, and the idea is to recruit and train and match up 10,000 older mature Christian men who intentionally intentionally go after relationships with younger men. And they walk with these young guys for 12 months. We ask that for that commitment. Because, as you said, this generation, they're leaving the church in droves, And every church, most churches around are wringing their hands because they have no clue as to why and what to do. And back to your point is that if the church lacks any kind of relevance in their lives, why come? Why go? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now you have we have the growing, what we call the nuns. They have no church affiliation at all. A lot of them still claim to be Christians, but they don't know theology, they don't know doctrine, and they don't want to be a part of a church because the church isn't relevant to them. It doesn't address what they're dealing with.
Yeah, and COVID and everything, part of that plan. I'll have a good shot in the arm for that also. Boy, that was all part of it.
Oh, yeah.
Paul, yeah, big plan on that one. Paul, what do you think on this?
Well, first I'd like to say that I love you in a moose killer and Jesus loves you kind of way.
There you go. Yeah,
well, Lane, what you're talking about, let me back up. We should have Frank Robertson and Lane on the program at the same time.
There you go.
When Frank was here, he wore his Dallas Cowboy necklace with a big star, and I just love to watch the fireworks. That would be fun. Okay, I think the church, and having pastored for a long time, I think the church has developed systems that are designed perfectly, to give the results that church is getting. Okay, and we design it that way. I think the ministries, I think the messages are all designed primarily for the feminine mind, you know. Mm-hmm. And for example, let's all stand, please, bow your heads, join your hands, hold hands together, and be soft, and we're going to sing Kumbaya, and it's going to be wonderful, things like that. So we have done this to ourselves, and we've shot ourselves in the foot, and we complain about being crippled, and having, you know, with rare exception, the pressure is on the pastor. Bless the pastor's heart. He's judged by how many people are in church. That's what he's judged. Okay. How big the budget is, how many baptisms, and it's not a male-female kind of thing. It's how many are there, okay? I can remember when I pastored in San Juan Capistrano, and at one point we had 23 Marines in our church. And it's a frightening thing when a Marine Lance Corporal walks up to you and says, I've got 3 years to be here with you. Give me an assignment. What do you want me to do? And follow that up, his words were, and I don't want to pass out bulletins, okay? And Lane, my heart resonates with what you're saying, you know, to challenge men to be men. I'm not sure we know how to do that. So bless you in your ministry and the challenges that are laid out to pastors. I think pastors want to do that. They have a heart to do that. They're just products of what they've been forced into in this little mold. And the scripture says, don't let the world press you into its mold. And that's exactly what's happened. And water will thaw, but you put it in a cold environment, it'll freeze again. But it's going to freeze in the form that it fills. And so I think it's so timely to think about this. Now, not to dominate, but I found a scripture today, and I thought this was really cool. And you remember when Jesus showed up and there was a little man up in a tree and he'd been forced up in the tree because he's a little guy and he couldn't see. And Jesus goes up to the sycamore tree and he looked up and he says, Jesus, come. I mean, he said, Zacchaeus, come down out of the tree. I'm going to go to your house today. And so he gets out of the tree and Jesus encounters him. Okay. And something incredible happens in Zacchaeus's life. And then he makes this incredible statement. He says, I'm going to give half of my money to the poor. And if I cheated anybody, I can imagine everybody going, if he cheated anybody. And Zacchaeus said, I will pay them back four times what I cheated them out of. And there was such a transformation. It was it's in verse 9 of Luke 19. And this is what I found. And it says, Everyone assumes that the kingdom of God is going to appear at any moment. And I rolled that around in my head to think about the kingdom of God appearing, why did they have that attitude? They had that attitude because God broke in and they saw a man's life changed. And it was infectious and it burned in their hearts. And what did they anticipate? The kingdom of God's coming today. And they were excited. You show me a church that's excited about the kingdom of God and anticipating the kingdom of God showing up, and I'll show you an exciting church to be a part of that. I mean, wow, that would be exciting. So, can I end with one thing, and I'll shut up. And then
go,
and
Paul, go.
Have you ever heard the name Jerry Boykin? He's a retired 3-star general, Jerry Boykin, and he's a follower of Jesus Christ, and he said, we as believers have been promised that we'll spend eternity with God. And he said, last Saturday, I was doing a men's conference in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and I was praying during the service, and something dawned on me, and it was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And the Spirit said, this is what I want you to share with the men today. I'm going to share it with you, and this is what it is. And this is Jerry Boykin. He says, one day when we're going to stand before the gates of heaven, some of us want to be able to walk up there in white robes, and we want to sing Abba Father and Amazing Grace, and we want to say to the Lord, I worshiped you. But he said, I want you to think about this. Here's the way I want to enter the gates of heaven. I want to come in skidding in there on all fours. And I want to be slipping and sliding. And I want to hit the gates of heaven with a bang. And when I stand up and I stand before Christ, I want there to be blood on my knees and on my elbows. And I want to be covered with mud. And I want to be standing there with a ragged breastplate of righteousness and a spear in my hand. And I want to say, look at me, Jesus. I've been in the battle. I've been fighting for you.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your armor on and go into battle, because that's where we are.
Amen.
So
amen.
That's what I have to say. Amen. That's it, bro.
Hey, back to your.
We serve a mighty God. Why are we so afraid? Mighty God. Yes.
So that's right. Back to your story of Zacchaeus. You notice that story didn't take place inside of a building. It took place outside in a tree.
In a tree.
Yeah.
And then it went to his house. It didn't move over to the church.
Right.
The church building. Right. So, and you said we've dug our own hole. You know what's amazing is the church, again, I go. I'm not saying don't go. It's just when you look at the method, they want men to change to their agenda instead of changing their agenda to meet the needs of men.
Yes.
So I've been a part of a couple of mega churches, men's ministry, serving, involved. And if they have, I'll just give an example of one church. They have an $11 million budget. Okay. $11 million. 85% of what they collect goes to keep the machine running, salaries, insurance, electricity, all that kind of stuff. So 15% is actually used for outreach and ministries. They got $100,000 of it, or $150,000 was for children. $50,000 of it was for women's ministry. $75,000 in their budget was for youth ministry. Zero for men's ministry.
Yes.
Zero. Yeah. It's like, you know, and if you want to do a men's event, it's like, okay, well, we don't have the money for that. We don't have it in our budget. So if you want to do it, you got to raise the money.
And we don't have time. We don't have a spot on the schedule either.
Right. So,
anyway, just, well, here's one for you. Well, I visit probably 250 churches a year. Wow. I can go in almost any church, large church, and they'll have a pastor. They have an assistant pastor. They'll have a worship pastor. They'll have a women's leader of the church. And then you look for, where's the men's pastor? Well, it's the men's sports evangelism. He's got all three of those. Every other pastor has an assistant or secretary. This guy has none. You go, where's your priority again? Tell me again. Where's your priority? It's not in men. It's not.
That's right.
But that's the challenge I take, because that's our ministry. We're like your lane. Our challenge is to come alongside pastors and churches and shake them until they fall. Fall in line, not fall.
Yeah, we're going to stay wired and fired, Lane. I tell you what, we're going to take a moment here. We got 6:51. We got to clear at 6:55. But we're just, Lane, a whole lot of other questions. We're going to get you back here again real quick. It wasn't hard. It's easy, huh? Hit that button. There you are. We got you. So hold the thought a minute before we close. I'm going to pitch over to Stephanie here. if she would give us a brief view. Brief view. Thanks. Tell the folks what's going on. Appreciate it.
We're just grateful you guys hang out with us. And I love what Pastor Joe said about comment, interact. We appreciate that. We can get back to you. It also helps other people see this show. So that's really helpful to us. You can go to bbsradio.com/raising expectations. At the top, there's different options there that you can donate. We're grateful for any and all, you know, skip that Starbucks or your other, you know, donut or whatever you're going to get and give a little bit there. And then you can learn about each of the co-hosts and past shows, the books that some of you guys have out, and we just always appreciate you being here and hanging out with us and supporting us.
Amen. Amen. So it's right there for you. Thanks, Steph. Appreciate it. And we're going to wrap up here, Lane, but we just, we want you to check the calendar. We got three more questions. We can't wait to get to them. And you know, you got four pastors here, and you've got actually, you got a doctor and a doctor's wife, and they're pretty pastoral in everything they do, helping people. So we'll go ahead. Lane, take a closing minute, would you, before I'm going to have to go back to TJ and the station. We'll get you back. Go ahead.
Okay. I always go back to two verses, Acts 4:29-30. Where Peter and John just got out of prison, and it's one of the first prayers recorded in the when the church started, and they said, consider their threats, but then the second part of it is, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. And so that's what we prayed initially when we started For Freedom Outreach back in 2015. And again, the word For Freedom comes from Galatians 5:1. Where the Galatian church was going back to the law, right? Mm-hmm. Pressure, duty, right. Obligation, appearance. And he's in Galatians 5:1, he tells the Galatian church, it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. And so I always go back to that. This is an answer to that prayer where he's allowed myself and other people that have a voice in our ministry to speak his word, not ours, but his word with great boldness. And sometimes it's hard because, again, you run into that pharisaical spirit, and I praise the Lord beyond measure. Just thank you. I don't feel that at all with you guys at all. And so thank you for that. And then the second verse always comes to mind. I brought it up the first time I was on your show, is Luke 19:10, right after Jesus encounters Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus says, you know, I'll repay and I'll reimburse. And Jesus quotes the verse. He says, the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. And so if you look at what's been lost in humanity, right, in the nonsense and the craziness, what was lost at the fall, right? Authority, dominion, power, rule, and just how sin has permeated and the ramifications of my mom has been in ministry since, you know, since I was a kid, and she'll always say, well, that's the end result of sin. And I've come to learn that it's not the end of result of sin. It's the result of brokenness, which leads to sin. And so yeah. Jesus came to, again, heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. So if we can help men and women be healed of their brokenness and set free from what holds them captive, they are image bearers of the Trinity. And so we did an event for about 100 people last Saturday. And most people, when they come out, they go, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't do that. I said, welcome, male and female image bearers of the Trinity. And which is a more accurate description. If people knew that they were an image bearer of God, and that's, he wants to restore you to the glory and have you be glory and have you achieve greatness in the skill set that he's given you. And so
that's it.
Yeah.
Well, Lane, I tell you what, brother, that we're just going to get you back real soon. Like I might have a hole coming up here before I know on one thing. I'm going to get back to you on this so we can cover your other questions. And okay. we're going to have to skip off now. If we could put up your website, I don't know if TJ, if you're there or shifting, but if we can get, tell them your website one more time, just say it out.
ForFreedomOutreach.org.
For Freedom Outreach.
Well, that's not really the website, but that's one of the pictures on it.
And there's your phone number?
That's the phone number, email. If you go onto that website, there's an events page. We have our men's events coming up. We have a shooting event coming up.
We're going to have to step out now. And there's some great stuff. You got to go to that site, folks. I mean, we get excited. There's things happening. Like Paul said, we are fired. The Lord's doing things. Never be discouraged. God's in control. He's got that set. So look up. Past the tree where Zacchaeus is, all the way to heaven where God is looking down and he's working in our hearts. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much. Ron, good to see you again, brother. Glad you're back. Lane, God bless you, brother. We're glad you're here. It's good to have you with us. We're going to finish up more. And Doc, good to see you over there. All right, Steph, thanks so much. Paul, love you, man. I love you guys. And God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for being with us tonight. Your expectations, we pray, will fly you out of here tonight. Stand tall. For Jesus. He's got things planned for you all week. Wait and see what he's going to do. Thanks so much. God bless you and keep you. We'll see you next week. Same time, same station. Bye-bye for now.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556 or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.